This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chandler, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan, or youtube.com/1080AMTheFan. Party on, party people. Go get it.
I'm babe.
We had another upset. The Nuggets, 2 days after a Game 7, haul off and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 121-119. That game was fun as all get out.
It was so stupid.
Yeah, it was.
It was so stupid. And it was, we talked about the Celtics game where they're up 20. The Thunder had, to be blunt, had no business losing this game. Zero. It was.
Can we talk about Mike Diagnol?
Yeah, little Mark Diagnol.
Boy. There's a lot that goes into end-of-game situations, and mm-hmm. I give a lot of leeway, and I know you do, too, mm-hmm. because the job is really damn hard.
It is.
Boy, did he screw that up.
Look, the math and the goal being to win the game says fouling up three is the right play. I came from the Blazers practice facility for draft workouts just a little bit ago, and that was the topic of discussion among basically everyone. And no one likes it. No one. No one likes it. It's cowardly.
Yeah.
It's not playing the game. Look, it's the most effective way to control a neutral outcome. Like, when you get into the nerdiness of it. But it takes away from the competitive spirit of the game. Which is why I'd like to see it fall on its face last night. I enjoyed that. But if you're going to do it, when they intentionally fouled the Nuggets immediately after the inbound, didn't let any clock run off, while the best player on the planet is on the bench, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, that is free time to just let the clock run without Nikola Jokic playing in a basketball game.
If they want to go try and get a three there, let them.
Yeah.
Who are you worried about?
Christian Braun. Christian Brown was good last night.
Michael Porter Jr. was awful last night.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray was 6 of 16.
Yeah.
What are you worried about?
Brown was 1 of 4. Nobody shot well. Aaron Gordon. Well, Aaron Gordon would be the guy to be worried about because holy crap, that game winner. Good. I love Aaron Gordon.
Look,
can I golf clap Aaron Gordon for being like one of the most exciting dunkers and then able to knock down threes like that?
Look,
that was great.
AG has had a hell of a run here in the last couple of weeks with the immaculate dunk on the putback.
Game winner.
But boy, this story could have gone a lot more differently down the stretch when he gets the rebound and has Jokic and Murray doing the cha-cha slide at the three-point line going, brother, give me the ball. And he goes, nah, I'm going to yeet this thing off the glass. And it was just like, oh, no. Oh, no, Gordon. What are you doing? You had your two best players butt naked,
mm-hmm.
and you decided to go up against two and smoke a shot at the rim, and yet he gets the redemption. And look, we've killed Russ so many times with Westbrook.
Holy guacamole, that was a hell of a play.
Shout out to Russ for pulling the defense, being aggressive towards the rim, and getting that ball to Gordon, and for Gordon to have the huevos to step up. They didn't need a three.
No, they were down two.
Takes that shot, cans it. The best part about it was there's no timeouts left for either team, and now the Thunder are scrambling. And so you're seeing the Nuggets like, oh, my God, react in real time. But they can't celebrate with him because there's no timeout and it's going to happen. And as soon as the horn sounds, the team just tackling Gordon. It was just a cool scene to see.
It was really cool. But the Thunder blew that game.
They biffed it so hard.
They blew that game, and that is a sign of a young team. And look, we could talk about this with the Cleveland Cavaliers, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers, just the night before, they kind of did the young team stub your toe in a big moment against the Indiana Pacers, and the Thunder do it again. Like, they've both been there before. They've been in the playoffs, but now the bullseye's on your back, man. You've got the home court advantage. You're not this plucky upstart anymore. And it was just kind of, whoa. You know, like mm-hmm. Texter points out, you know, the layup. Oh, wait, they were only up one? I thought they were up two.
Yeah, Thunder were up one. Yeah.
Okay. Chet missing both free throws.
Oh, that was pressure. That's what that was.
And that's it right there. You got the bullseye on your back. These are high leverage moments. You've got to make those plays. And that comes, like, honestly, we overblow it a lot, but that is experience in those mm-hmm. moments, being there and on that stage and like, hey, this is the game coming down to you on that free throw line in a playoff situation where home court is gone. And
that's why Caruso showed up.
Yeah.
He's been there. He knows how to do this. Like, you're not going to get that game from him every single time. But when we are going into this, the thing I said is, look, Oklahoma City, they have all of these markers of a truly great team that should contend for a title. I am a huge believer in that you have got to earn your scars. In the NFL, in the NHL, in Major League Baseball, you can get hot and just be that team. Yeah. It does not happen in basketball. Does not happen in basketball.
There was a play, and Texline's bringing it up, that I thought it was a good play because you went up by three and you're going to take that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they had that 117-116 lead
mm-hmm.
and off the inbound, the seas parted. He goes down and dunks it with 11 in change to go.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you have the lead, but to take that 3-point lead, I thought that was important at that time. I didn't have a problem with him not running more time off the clock.
If you get a good shot, you get a good shot, man.
And like, it was wide open dunk. Yeah, go ahead and take it. Hindsight, if you can run a little bit of time off, sure. But in that moment, I was like, whoa, that was, and you could tell on Denver's face, that's not what they were trying to do.
No.
There was a lot of palms up.
Yeah,
and then they
Brown
just
got crossed up.
They got right back to it, though. Mm-hmm. Experienced team.
And we've gone this far without mentioning an absolutely historic night from Nikola Jokic. A 40-25 game. He is the fifth player ever to do it in NBA playoff history. He is the first to ever have a 40-25-2 game. So 40-plus points, 20-plus rebounds, 5-plus assists, 2-plus blocks. What is the Thunder's weakness?
They don't have a lot of them. But if you look at the Oklahoma City's Thunder in their they got bigs.
They do.
They got shooters.
But they don't have size.
The traditional, like, big boned.
Hartenstein is the only guy they have. Jay Will is undersized but strong. They did, quote unquote, well on Jokic, and they don't have an answer for him. Did you see the numbers?
Well, they got into foul trouble. All the bigs got into foul trouble last night.
Did you see the numbers in the glass? It was 63-43. They got out-rebounded by 20 because the Nuggets had 20 1 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's bonkers, man. And look, I still think the Thunder are going to win this series, but they have got to find an answer for that. And there's not an easy way to do that because they play so aggressively. And they said it on the broadcast, 20% of the Thunder's points come from transition. And it's not just like pushing pace, it's turning you over. And when you're aggressive like that, if you get beat, you know what ends up happening? You get looks at the rim and you get offensive rebounds because guys are scrambling back and they're not big enough to scramble back against 6'9" Aaron Gordon, 6'10" Michael Porter Jr., and 7-foot rebounding god Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, and that was kind of one of the stories of the game, though, was points off turnovers 23-5 in favor of Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm. That's like, what they do.
That is, that's a glaring number. And Russell Westbrook, for the play that he made at the end, he also had some uncharacteristic turnovers that...
No, I think...
Well, I think they're characteristic. But crippling turnovers in big moments of the game, throughout the course of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the course of the game. It wasn't like the last play where he boots the ball out. He actually got it to Aaron Gordon, and he was able to knock down a three. But it was a rough night in that regard for Denver, and that kind of gives you a little bit more hope that when Denver takes this thing back to Mile High, they're going to be all right. But the reality of it is, teams that are down 0-1 at home in the conference semifinals, it's not as big of a detriment as you think it is. We talked about it earlier. The team that has won game one in the conference semifinals on the road is 31-32 in those series, sub .500.
But those teams that win in at home game one is significantly higher.
Yeah, it is pretty good. It's a good stat.
That's a difference.
It's a good stat.
Speaking of stats, this is from Matt Moore, HU Basketball Hardwood Program last night. Denver was outscored in points off turnovers 23-5. Outscored off the bench 32-23, gave up 5 more made threes than they made, and shot 31% from three and won the game. That tells you...
I'd be more worried if I'm Oklahoma City than I am Boston.
Yes, and that's the thing about this is Denver didn't play this incredible game. They left a lot of meat on the bone. There are things that they can do drastically better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's things the Thunder can do better. The question I have, though, SGA had an insane game, a near triple-double, 30-point triple-double. It was the quietest 30-point near triple-double I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It did not feel like he was dictating the game because what I think the game plan for the Nuggets was and what it felt like is, look, we know SGA is going to get his. Who's going to be the other guy?
Let him beat us. And they said if it's not going to be him, it's going to be Jalen Williams.
And he was 5 of 20.
Yep. They were letting him get his 20 looks and okay with that.
And here's the thing. Remember against the Mavs last year, what happened? J-Dub wasn't there.
Yeah.
He didn't show up. He was not he went a little Jared Allen. The lights were a little too bright for him.
Hmm.
And you have to wonder, as good as SGA is and as deep as this team is, do they have the other guy? Because to me, Chet's never going to be that guy. I think he's going to be like an unbelievable number three that can toggle up tier two. But can Jalen be the number two that need him to be?
All right. Hey, you went to Blazers pre-draft workouts today.
I did.
Let's talk about who was there
Okay. And
what we saw from the Portland Trail Blazers' first batch of pre-draft workouts. Mm. Usually not the guys you're going to take
in the first
group, but we can get an idea of what they're looking for. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Portland Trail Blazers brought in their first batch of pre-draft workouts today. And this is going to start really gaining more traction and more steam as we get closer to the NBA draft. And, I don't know, the Blazers actually know where they're going to be selecting in the draft. The draft lottery is less than a week away.
Dun, 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 dun.
Monday, May 12th. We will find out where the Blazers will be drafting. But today, the first batch came through, and those are usually not the guys that they're going to be selecting.
So with all the changes in the NIL landscape and college sports, but in this instance, college basketball, even though the early entrants are down by 2/3, I think it was 106 or 107 total players in the totality, including the early entrants. You're seeing guys that are starting this process sooner. The Trailblazers are actually not the first team to hold workouts. The Sacramento Kings held their first workout yesterday, and one of the guys that was there, Ruben Chinleo, who's the one of the bigs from Florida, worked out in Sacramento yesterday before coming up here. You had him, you had Dink Pate, who played for the G League Ignite the year before last with Ron Holland, Modest Pozelis. When G League Ignite folded, he basically signed a 2-year deal. He actually ended up playing this last season for the G League in Mexico City, the Capitanes.
The Capitanes!
Yeah, playing at 8,200 feet, which Mile High ain't got nothing on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, take that, Denver.
That's why a team will literally never, ever, ever play in Mexico City in the NBA.
Oh, that's the reason?
Among a thousand others. But okay. Yeah, you just can't have teams coming into Mexico City and just like, oh yeah, here's a day. And also we're going to, you know, add half the elevation of Denver on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, you need like a week to acclimate to that stuff. It's nasty. But they brought in this group. These guys are early entrants and there's going to be more on Thursday. And then basically after that, just talking to Blazer staffers and personnel, it sounds like we're going to be doing two workouts a week, every week until the draft. So they're going to run them through. I think the total I think I had last year was 57 guys they brought in.
Okay.
And you want to get the early entrance guys because even if they go back, now you're starting your binder on guys.
Yeah.
For the guys that go back and like and you get an idea of... this has actually happened. Tumani did this. Jabari did this. The other kid from Colorado, Tristan Da Silva, came in and worked out with the Blazers 2 years ago before being drafted by the Magic last year. So you get these opportunities to kind of see these guys up close and in your gym.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of this is. Of all the guys that came in, Dink Pate's probably the only one that I think has a possibility of being drafted in this group. Now, Ruben might. He was the other guy that was kind of the featured guy in this group. They brought in six guys. They played 3-on-3.
Chinyelu?
Yeah.
Ruben Chinyelu from Florida?
Built like a brick house, man.
That's the only guy that, Devin Pryor I've heard of as well.
Yeah, he's Texas. If he goes back, he's going to be a Duck.
Yeah. I have not heard of really anybody else.
John Blackwell, Wisconsin. Lachlan Ulbrich is MBL. Australian
yeah, he
League.
Plays in Australia. And then the other guy, Ben Henshaw, plays for the Perth Wildcats.
Another NBL guy.
So, yeah.
So they could go all back right. to Australia. And Perth, Illawarra, and New Zealand, those are kind of become like the developmental pipeline. Because like guys like Repair
yeah.
and Dyson Daniels and Alex Saar, like those are where those guys have all kind of played. And they've made it kind of a deal of like, hey, yeah, we're going to be a competitive, we're going to be a really good team in the NBL, but we're also going to make sure we have one or two guys and they're going to get some minutes and they're going to spend time with a professional team where winning matters. And it's really interesting. I was talking to Dink Pate and I was like, hey, you know, what's been the difference for you from going from the Ignite to the G League at large and playing for Mexico City? And he said the quiet part out loud where the Ignite was supposed to be a developmental league and winning wasn't the priority. Now I'm playing on a team in Mexico City where I'm playing with NBA veterans. Like these are guys who've been in the leagues. Like I've got vets on my team that, you know, they're trying to work their way back in the league. And so it's super competitive. And he's like, it's just very, very, very different from, and I think that was really the downfall of the Ignite was that winning wasn't the priority. And when you know you're going to go out and you're going to get smoked every single night because you're 17, 18, 19 years old and you're playing against grown men.
It turns into get me mine.
And not just that, like you can't match up.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it. So Pate's a guy that I think is a lot of people are looking at as a second round guy. 6'6", and he's every bit of it. He's a guard. And he's like, I want to show everybody I'm a point guard. I want to show everybody that, yeah, I have all these intangibles and all these things, but I'm a point guard. I'm going to get you into your stuff, and I'm gonna be a productive player. Honestly, it's one of the best interviews from a young prospect I've ever seen.
Like, oh, good.
The way he was prepared, and either he's been trained incredibly well, and whoever has trained him should be doing it for everyone because they're incredible at it, or this is just naturally who he is. And I'm leaning it towards maybe a little bit of both, where he just has that general ability to communicate
yeah.
that's just better than most guys. But as we're ramping up, we are fully in draft season now. The draft is in less than 6 weeks. And you're going to have workout groups coming and going at least twice a week. And there's probably going to be some private workouts. There always are. The one-offs here or there. And depending on where the Blazers fall on Monday, that can change drastically. But as we get closer to that group or to the draft, that's when you'll see the individual, particularly if the Blazers move up, that's when you'll see the individual workouts for the guys that are the top five, top six, top seven prospects.
All right. Well, it was nice to see the Blazers had some guys in, and I mean, granted, none of them are going to be guys that they're going to be drafting in the first round.
No, these are the second round guys and getting guys in house.
But at the same time, it's really starting to heat up, and hopefully they get some names of consequence in soon.
Yeah, and look,
hopefully they have a draft pick of consequence. Hopefully Cooper Flagg is in town soon.
It was a full house.
If they draft first overall, mm-hmm. if they win the lottery, is it going to be like they bring in Cooper Flagg and then they just bring in a bunch of second round picks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they win the lottery, there's no questions.
That's fun.
There's none.
I want that to happen. Only 3.7% chance, but I'm here for it.
Hey. We like to see it.
If it happens, I'll shave my head.
If it happens, you have to grow out your hair.
Oh, nobody wants that.
Yeah. No.
There's only a 3.7% chance that happens, Rust. Are you going to commit to the basketball gods right now that you will grow out your hair?
How long are we talking here?
From the lottery to the draft.
Sure.
That's not that long.
Oh, it'll be long enough.
No,
we got
saying,
a month?
No, yeah. I'm saying we like,
No. I'm not doing that to him.
Oh, yeah, come on.
No. That month.
I don't want to get divorced.
He'll get through an awkward stage if he goes to the start of the season. If he goes a month, it's going to be the worst stage of all of it. So
no, the start of the season. That way we get the full breadth and depth. That gives you like a full 5 months.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on. I did it.
You did it on your own.
Yeah, well. With some push.
And at the end of it, you were saying, why didn't you guys tell me about this?
The skunk,
we tried to.
Nobody told me about the skunk mark.
I know about my bald spot.
Yeah, no, none of those. I just had that one super white strand.
All right, there's a 3.7% chance that Jeff Rust will be growing out his head hair until the NBA draft.
Maybe my back, too.
Ooh. Braid it.
I didn't want to know that was being cut. Trimmed. Shaved, waxed.
It's not. I got a sweater going on over here.
All right.
There you go.
It falls off your head and goes right down your shoulders to your back.
Pretty much.
All right. There you go.
It all blends together. All right. Come up next time for our worst day on the web. And look, it's not a bag of drugs that says this is not my bag of drugs, but it's pretty damn close. We'll get to that next year. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
I'm oddly excited about this one because it's so dumb. It's like, that can't be real. Headline from the Akron Beacon Journal reads, Akron woman arrested on drug charges Monday. And this is going to read like an ad lib or mad lib. After pet raccoon was found with her meth pipe.
Oh! Wait a minute. She has a pet raccoon?
Which, that already, great. Love that.
The meth pipe makes sense once you get past the, she has a pet raccoon?
55-year-old Akron woman was arrested yesterday and charged with multiple drug offenses after a raccoon was discovered in a vehicle holding a meth pipe in its mouth.
Yikes, dog.
The photos are insane. It legitimately looks like a raccoon smoking meth.
Yeah.
Went from a trash panda to a trashy panda.
Right?
Wow.
I mean, it's incredible. Like, it's like holding it up to its mouth like it's trying to take a hit from the pipe.
You know, we don't have a lot of news out of Ohio.
No.
I mean, this is pretty significant,
too. Just a kid from Akron.
This is more like Panhandle, Florida, Alabama.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're looking more Ozarks than
Ohio is it's a curveball in all of this.
It is.
They stay out of the news. Now, they shouldn't,
but they do. It's a lot of the same people.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. If you've ever been to Ohio, particularly Southern Ohio.
Yeah.
When you get into the crossovers of the Southern states, it gets real sideways. Akron's in the west side of the state, if I remember right.
I don't know here. Akron is, it's northeastern Ohio.
Northeastern Ohio? I thought it was northwest.
Yeah, it's okay. Just south of Cleveland.
Yeah.
On your way to, like, in between, right smack dab in between Cleveland and Canton, Ohio.
There you go.
So the Hall of Fame and the Browns.
So,
boy golly.
Officers initially conducted the traffic stop at 7:15 after identifying a vehicle whose owner had both an active warrant and a suspended driver's license.
Yeah, well,
that'll do it.
And now we're to the not surprising part.
After they detained the driver, police then discovered a raccoon named Chewy sitting in the driver's seat with a meth pipe in its mouth. Officers further inspected the vehicle, and after that discovery, ended up finding a bulk amount of meth, crack, cocaine, and three used glass meth pipes.
Damn.
I mean, here
you feel bad for the raccoon.
I mean, look.
There's nothing. Like, all the panels on the inside of the car ripped off.
There's trash everywhere. Yikes.
Well, trash panda.
Yeah. Woman was charged with possession of drugs. Three counts of drug paraphernalia possession is also cited for driving under suspension.
Wow.
Have you ever noticed that all of these, like, crazy drug dealers always have some sort of weird animal?
No. I don't know. I don't know very many crazy drug dealers.
It always turns out, like, in all these stories, like, oh, yeah, they had some pet reptiles or...
Or like the dealer in a Boogie Nights. He had a little monkey or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was like, throwing like the firecrackers.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, no, they've got a pet capybara. And you're just like, what the hell is happening here?
It's cash business. You go and you buy some exotic animals, I guess.
Mm.
Like a raccoon. Was this a raccoon born in captivity, or did she train it herself on like a bender of some sort?
Yeah, well, maybe it gave the raccoon some meth.
Ah, I don't know if that's going to tame the animal.
There's a raccoon adjacent. There's a lemur. That's what it is. They have found a, it's like, I think it's in Madagascar. There's a certain plant that, a berry that they eat, that they're like the only ones who eat it because it's like a hallucinogen.
I've seen it. Gets them high.
It gets them higher than a freaking kite.
Yeah.
And they just sit there and trip balls in the tree.
That's, I mean, they could fill your time with something.
Feels like maybe that's an unexplored avenue for drug dealers. Like, just get an animal that's just used to tripping balls around you.
Okay, so then the world doesn't seem that off.
Well, there we go. You're just aligning interests.
That's a thought.
I like my meth. Then the lemur likes his acid-induced berries.
I mean, isn't that already what most trailer parks are like?
I mean, right?
Wow, that's a shot.
Okay, or how about in Florida?
I was going to say, as somebody who lived in one,
more fair.
He's not wrong.
Well,
he's not wrong.
But it's not entirely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a
rather sweeping generalization.
That
yes.
is. I think that's unfair to some out there.
It's not.
Yeah, you're going, I lived in one?
I lived in one. It's not. Look,
All right.
My criminal career started quite early. When I was 4 years old, I got tricked into spray painting another mobile home. And I'm pretty certain that family that had that kid, I was four. I was like, I didn't know any better. They just handed me a can of spray paint. And they said, draw away. It was one of the not older kids, but older than me. He was like 8 or 9. But yeah, I imagine that family right now, probably all in jail.
Can't believe you were easily influenced like that, Danny. Whoa. That's way less surprising than
I'm not easily influenced. Come on now. Now, if you're saying that it's easy to induce me to lean into my intrusive thoughts, perhaps.
Yeah, that would be easily influenced.
Perhaps.
Not a great day for the city of Akron. You got that story, which is covering up the fact that, did you see that the Akron Zips are the first team to be eliminated from bowl contention this year? Yeah, they're Akron's football team, Maction.
Bowl
this
band?
Is why you watch on Tuesday and Wednesday. Oh, no, it's not for anything nefarious. It's they don't go to class. The academic progress rate, they are the first team since 2014.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you've got to really be trying.
Isn't it like a 2.2 or something like that? It's really low.
No, I think it's a 2.0. But this is like graduation rate, progress towards graduation, all that stuff. But it's done on a 5-year rolling average. So this is a half decade
of dummy. Bro, it's Akron.
Well, obviously we're learning a little bit about Akron today.
Good God.
Now,
man. Maybe
we're going to give LeBron a little bit of credit for just being a kid from Akron.
Yeah.
We're going to give him a little bit of credit.
I mean, but he did go to a private school.
Well, that is true. I've heard his school that he started is not going well.
I would imagine.
Was it what do you call that?
Dreamers?
The Promise? Dreamers?
Or was that Kanye's?
Oh boy. You, that is not a school I would send my children to.
I think he replaced the name with just a Nazi symbol.
Yikes.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Let's see here. Nah, I don't even. It's the I Promise School.
I Promise. There you go.
It's the I Promise School.
I promise that we will keep these kids away from meth-smoking raccoons.
Well, maybe.
What if it turned out this person ended up being like a teacher there? What would be worse, having the teacher that has a meth adjacent raccoon or the teachers that had the kid fight club?
I'd say the meth raccoon.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's tough, though.
Meth raccoon sounds like an Onion article that they like. I saw a meme today of like, it was something along the lines of it's like three people in like a prayer circle. And it was the caption was something along the lines of, The Onion trying to channel a headline that is actually believable but unbelievable in today's state of the world. And I was like, yeah, the Onion headlines are just like believable now.
Yeah. Well, here's a detail from the LeBron James I Promise School. Eighth graders at I Promise School have not passed the state math assessment since 2018-2019.
So pre-COVID. Oh, boy.
I think that's not... I think it's not doing
it. Sounds like it's
going
the way of the G League Ignite.
But his heart was in the right place.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it is. You're trying to help out in an inner city, man. I get it.
Oh, my goodness.
Damn, that's brutal.
And when not one, I promise, eighth grader has ever passed Ohio's math test.
I'm speechless right now because I was going to say something that I can't say on the radio.
Dang.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Wow.
That's not great, Bob.
No. That's crazy. Wow.
That actually makes me feel bad, but also it very much sounds like the G League Ignite now.
Yeah. Wow. That's tough, dude.
Sheesh.
But apparently those aren't the proficiency standards. This is like getting the next step up. Only 12% are passing just the proficiency standards.
That's not 12%. Not great either.
No, that's not good. Damn, that sucks.
You got like a 12% walk rate in baseball. You're doing pretty good, hey, but that's about the only time 12% is good.
Hey, turns out education tough.
Yeah. 12%.
You can't just be like, hey, I'm starting this school. It's going to be great.
12% body fat. That's good.
Yeah. That is good.
That's really good. That's good. It's basically bodybuilder at that point.
That's good.
12% is not like, that's not a number you ever want to like, be associated
you
with.
You really don't.
No, like 12 is just a bad number.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tom Brady, Shadur Sanders, bad number.
Whoa. Easy. Take it easy. It's Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter. Yep. Shadur is number 2.
No, he's wearing 12.
Retired. No, but
oh, I know.
2 is retired.
But he's wearing 12.
What an idiot. He's just taking Travis Hunter's number.
There you go.
Being like, yeah, this is going to be perfect.
Yeah, they said it was for his mentor, Tom Brady.
Yeah, the guy that passed on him 5 times.
Well,
there you go.
Actually, but more than 5 times, right? Because didn't they have multiple picks in the 3rd and 4th round?
Yeah, they 7, 8 picks, 9 picks.
Yeah. Dang, bro.
It's tough.
All right.
So there you go. Meth raccoon. I just saw meth raccoon. I was like, oh, I'm interested.
That raccoon deserves better.
You having a good time?
I don't know if he's having a good time.
I wonder if meth affects raccoons the same as it does people.
I don't think science should go into that.
I mean, we probably have.
We probably.
Let's be honest.
You're not wrong.
All right, coming up next, the NBA award cycle keeps pushing on, and I did get a little information. It does sound like the all-defensive team not happening this week. Probably not even next week. Probably the week after that. So probably in 2 weeks, we'll get a little update on the all-defensive team. But we do have a Coach of the Year name. Did they get it right? Danny Dusty, Tonight the Fan. As we progress through the NBA playoffs, it's that time of the year where the awards are kicked out. And yesterday, we had the announcement of the Coach of the Year. I think there's multiple candidates that could have come away with this. But the Cleveland Cavaliers head coach, Kenny Atkinson, wins Coach of the Year, which unfortunately has been a massive kiss of death for basically every coach in the NBA over the last 7 years. They've all been fired.
Oh.
It's kind of crazy. Like, you just go down the list of coaches that have been fired. It's coach of the year after coach of the year after coach of the year. And you're like, the hell is happening here?
All right, let's go through this here. Last year's NBA Coach of the Year was Mark Diagonal. Mm-hmm. He's still employed.
He's still employed.
Mike Brown, fired.
Mm-hmm.
Monty Williams, fired. Tom Thibodeau, fired.
Mm-hmm.
No, not fired. It was with the Knicks, so not fired. He's been fired before. Yeah. Nick Nurse, Raptors, fired.
Mm-hmm.
Budenholzer, Bucks, fired.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Casey, Raptors, fired. Mike D'Antoni, Rockets, fired. And then Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors, not fired.
It's crazy.
And then before that, Mike Budenholzer with the Atlanta Hawks, fired.
Fired.
Yeah, weird.
It is a kiss of death. It's absolutely insane.
That is weird.
It's really weird. But you look at the possible coaches that were out there. For me personally, I had it as 1A, 1B, or both 1A, Atkinson and J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yeah, I think Bickerstaff, I don't know, setting a record of biggest swing in win percentage in NBA history, I think that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
I think that's significant.
And I don't like, Executive of the Year was also announced with Sam Presti winning Executive of the Year. I don't like Coach of the Year and Executive of the Year. It was like, oh, they won. Well, it's like, well, what did the Thunder really do? They added Caruso and Hartenstein, which they're good ads, but like,
I mean, I think they're good, really good ads. But they almost made history by adding those two guys and, you know, continuing to develop their talent.
I mean, that's more of this like guys developing. It's kind of like the like when Most Improved goes to former number, you know, top five pick player X. And it's like, well, that's not like, to me, the Most Improved this last year was Norman Powell.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who's 31 years old who all of a sudden went from like, oh, he's a pretty damn good player to that's a really good player.
Yeah.
Like a young top five, top 10 pick figuring it out, like to Monte Kamara. And that's me being a homer. Him going from a, you know what, 54, 58th pick to being a maybe an all defensive team member. Or a guy like Denny Avdia, who's, well, a top 10 pick, it took him five years to kind of figure it out. That's, to me, is more in the spirit. And the same with the Coach of the Year, just handing it to the team that wins the most games.
Yeah.
It's like what Ime Udoka did in Houston this year. He took a team to the number two seed in the West.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn impressive.
Very impressive. Very impressive. But, I mean, just like with Denny and two, yeah, they may have improved, but there's guys like that all over the league that improve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and have marked strides. It's, are you doing it on a team that is also winning? And I think that there are flaws in that because, like, Norm was on a winning team, and he was very impressive this season. Those ones are difficult to do. Like, I don't think the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year, I think they make it a lot more difficult than it should be because it's pretty damn easy. And you should give it to the same guy every single damn year until he proves you he's not the best player,
yes.
Nikola Jokic. But that's just not the way they do it, and that's making life a lot harder.
Yeah, there's voter fatigue. And I'm like, why? Like, well, Jordan didn't win it, and Tim Duncan didn't win it, and LeBron didn't win it. I'm like, so you're going to use the excuse of they were stupid before, so we're going to continue being stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never understood. Now, for me, the criteria on voting is pretty cut and dry as far as, like, MVP. It's like, who's the best player on the planet?
Nikola Jokic.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
The whole, like, well, you know, if somebody's up and coming and they're really doing, like, Nikola Jokic is had a better year this year than he's ever had.
We had an interesting text that said, is Nikola Jokic already the best international player ever?
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough because I just don't think he ever got the credit that he deserved.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's Hakeem Olajuwon.
Mm.
I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon could have played in any era.
Yeah. And been
ever. But the NBA was also in a spot where Magic and Bird saved the game. Then he comes in kind of on the heels of that as they are still on their ascension and on their rise. And so all of the attention was paid towards Magic and Bird. And then Michael Jeffrey Jordan comes through and he gets lost in that because he played the bulk of his career alongside the best player ever.
Mm-hmm.
He was truly a force.
Yes.
Like a force like none other. He could play right now in the NBA and be just as damn good as he was back then.
Yeah. I don't care about pace and space and all that kind of thing. Dream was different.
Yeah.
The best footwork of all time.
And people forgot how quick he was.
Yeah. I mean, he was a freak. I mean, Phi Slamma Jamma wasn't just Clyde.
Yeah.
It's Hakeem running the floor, too.
But Jokic is right damn there.
I'll tell you this. If he wins another title,
yeah,
it's Jokic. Now,
would you see Kendrick Perkins say that one more championship for Steph Curry and he is in the GOAT conversation?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
The greatest shooter of all time.
Yeah, yeah. That's undoubted. And Steph's legacy is better than Kobe's already, in my opinion.
I think so.
Steph, for me, if you're doing top 10 and Kobe's like the first or second one out, Steph is the first or second one in.
And I'm not saying that to trigger Laker fans.
I'm not either. I've never believed it.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, Steph, and people always go, well, Steph played with Draymond and Klay and KD. It's like, well, Kobe played with Shaq.
The most physically dominant player maybe in sports ever.
And Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
Pau Gasol was really damn good,
yeah.
People.
Yeah, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
All right.
Really good. And Lamar Odom and Andrew Bynum. And,
well, I'm glad we worked that out.
On that international list, if you want to split hairs, Tim Duncan, Virgin Islands. U.S. Virgin Islands.
Virgin Islands.
Still quasi-international.
I think you need to have a passport.
Okay. Yeah. Then the list is it's Jokic, Hakeem, Dirk. That's the three you're choosing from the international side.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about international accolades and you talk about guys that played with him and played alongside him and played against him.
Arvydas Sabonis.
Yes. Yes. There was some clip that circulated the other day of some older players. It was Detlef Schrempf played against him before he came over, and they had a couple of like Rashid was talking about him, and like, he was giving guys, he could talk about in practice, he was giving guys work with no legs. He goes, you've never seen anything like him. Like, had he come over, he would have been the best player on the planet.
Yep.
Like, that's terrifying to think about. It's also very crippling.
Because we could have had him.
Mm.
Thanks, Cold War.
Yeah. Stupid Iron Curtain.
Damn it.
All right, coming up next in hour number three, three top seeds have fallen already. Which of those three teams needs to actually worry about it going forward? Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.